hardly working and penny pinching. Americans spending less and working less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Retail sales were down a bit in April after a massive spending spree in March. Overall, though, analysts say consumer spending looks solid. And the Labor Department reports worker productivity slowed in the first quarter. That's a sign companies might start hiring again. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial.
Basically, we are working workers harder at less money during the recession and the early stage of the recovery, and now we're starting to begin to add some workers back. So that's taken away from productivity a bit, but these are still stunning numbers.
The markets don't seem to know what to make of all this this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is basically flat at 10,866. The NASDAQ, flat as well, at 2,401. The S&P 500, you guessed it, flat at 1,165. First-time unemployment claims dropped last week for the third straight week. A promising sign, but all eyes will be on April unemployment numbers out tomorrow. The 9.7% unemployment rate in this country has stretched many states to the limit. More than 30, including California, Texas, and New York, have had to borrow money from the federal government to cover the cost of unemployment programs. Today, lawmakers are talking about how to fund the system long-term. Marketplace's Eve Trope reports.
The Golden State leads the pack in borrowing for unemployment. H.D. Palmer is a spokesperson for the California Department of Finance. He says the tab was more than $7 billion last year. This year is worse.
We're going to have to more than double our borrowing from Washington to about $18.4 billion.
Unemployment insurance is paid to the state by employers. Palmer says California can't pay the bill on its own until more people are working. Andrew Stettner is with the National Employment Law Project. He says more jobs will help, but the real problem is that most states don't ask employers to kick in enough for unemployment insurance.
If an auto insurance company set its rates like it was insuring a fleet of Escorts, but they were really insuring a fleet of Cadillacs, they'd go out of business. That's kind of where we are at with state unemployment insurance financing.
Stettner's speaking to Congress today. He'll argue that states need to require that employers pay more. California spokesperson H.D. Palmer says, for a state nervous about losing more jobs, that's a hard sell. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
A ship carrying a 100-ton concrete and steel dome has arrived at the oil leak site in the Gulf of Mexico. BP plans to drop the dome over the leak site, which is spitting more than 200,000 gallons of oil into the Gulf every day. It turns out Transocean, the company that built the faulty rig, has had safety problems before in Britain. Our own Stephen Beard joins us now from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
So what exactly is Transocean accused of doing wrong?
There were two violations in the North Sea that are perhaps significant in the light of the Gulf of Mexico disaster. They involved the safety device, which apparently failed in the Gulf of Mexico rig, the blowout preventer. This is the huge valve that is supposed to seal the head of the oil well to prevent oil and gas gushing out.
So what happened in the British cases? Was there an accident?
No, but British health and safety inspectors found fault with the blowout preventer on two Transocean rigs. They said the equipment was not in good working order or in good repair. The company was ordered to put things right, which it did. It's clear that safety equipment is going to be the key issue in this story, along with the blowout preventer. There's also the separate question of the so-called acoustic switch, a safety device that was not fitted to the Deepwater Horizon rig. It's not required in the US. Indeed, only two countries in the world require it. David Doig, an oil safety expert, speaking at a big oil conference in Houston, wondered why it's not mandatory everywhere.
The question needs to be asked is, why only in two countries when we have a global industry where all the players are working across all the boundaries? You don't work in a local environment. You work globally as a global oil company.
Well, we'll keep following this. Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
You can see a photo of the dome, which doesn't actually look much like a dome at all, at our website, marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
It has not been a great week for Wall Street, but there are signs that the U.S. economy is coming back. Plans are underway to build a cargo warehouse at New York's JFK Airport, the first in nearly a decade. Jill Barchet reports.
JFK handles more cargo than most airports in the world. So people like Paul Rosen have a front seat to the ebbs and flows of global trade. He's at A&B Property, the largest owner of cargo warehouses at the airport. He says when there's a lot of cargo, all the warehouse workers complain there's no place to park.
It quieted down a little bit during the recession. Now everybody's really happy that we're seeing more traffic. And really, you know, it's kind of funny because the same thing that they complained about, people are happy because that means that business is getting better.
Global trade is still down from its peak in 2007, but Brandon Freed says cargo volumes are starting to surge. He's the executive director of the Air Forwarders Association.
And we're going to need space. We're going to need space not only to handle the increased cargo, but also the demands for cargo screening.
On August 1st, all cargo has to be screened prior to boarding. Cargo handlers will need new buildings for that. But the ground won't be broken on the new JFK warehouse until September. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
And finally, mommy blogs are erupting today over a new kind of infant formula that comes in chocolate and vanilla flavors. The LA Times reports bloggers and nutritionists are worried the sugary flavors will cause toddlers to crave sweets. Really, though, these kids are entering a world of deep-fried Snickers bars and white chocolate lattes and a food invention called the bacon explosion. So I'm thinking it's probably not the worst idea to start training early if you want to eat American. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.